Hello, Slice of Sci-Fi fans and listeners. We have a little something different for you today. We have a double interview, but it's about the same show, the same web series, Riftworld Chronicles. I really enjoy this series, and my hope is that these interviews will show why you should be watching and enjoying this series too. So with that out of the way, we'll get right to the good stuff. Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is producer Laura Perlmutter, and she has brought us a quirky, funny fantasy known as Riftworld. The Riftworld Chronicles is a web series. Their Kickstarter program gave them enough to make a full series, but in all honesty, I believe that that series is not long enough.
As a lot of people feel that way.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Laura. The humor, the level of humor in this little series was not something I expected, but I totally enjoyed.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, Jonathan Williams, who's the writer, director of the series, is really great at pulling out that humor and kind of the mundane and everyday, which I think really lends itself to this genre and the way that he did it and formulated it.
Did the direction of the humor have any impact on who you wanted to cast?
The backstory of this series is that it started as a short film called The Portal,
mm-hmm.
which is also available online for free to watch. And it was in those early days, just the concept of kind of looking around, trying to see who might be a good fit, that actually Jonathan's partner had suggested Aaron and Tamo to us and thought that they would be really great in these roles, thought that they could bring a lot of humor, knowing Aaron from being Erica and Tamo from Battlestar Galactica. Just felt like they knew that they could play the genre, but that they could also play the humor. And so we reached out to the agents, and amazingly, they agreed to be a part of it.
Because there's something enjoyable about the way that Tamo presents Alar. And it is the sincerity, I think, adds to the unintentional humor of some of the situations. And finding myself laughing out loud at certain situations to a web series is rare and, as I said, a treasured experience. That was just a lot of fun, but again, not long enough. Now, how long was the original The Portal, the short film?
The short film was about 13 minutes, I believe. And then we just saw a lot of potential there to grow it into a longer, bigger story. And that's how the web series came about, the idea of doing that. And we definitely plan on making more and growing it more, because we have a whole world in mind. And Jonathan has been creating a larger world that's not just here on Earth, but also in Alar's dimension too. So we have big plans for it. We just are working towards making it an actualization.
Can you shed some light on some of Jonathan's, I guess, development process, where he's going to take this, or how he got to where this first, I guess, series one started and ended?
Jonathan comes from, you know, he's really into games. He's mm-hmm. really into, he plays a lot on his computer and online, and he's really into these fantastical worlds that kind of lend itself to endless possibilities. And I think the idea of creating his own story like that was really exciting to him. And so that's where the idea started from, this really kind of simple idea of just, what if this wizard from another dimension landed here? And then started growing and into this larger picture of, well, where is he coming from? Where is that world that he came from? Why is it here that he ended up here? And he's, Johnson's been really developing this idea of this rift and how our worlds, these two dimensions, have collided and how that's opened up, and wants to explore that further and understand what that would mean for this world and what kind of other beings, creatures, and foes can come from that other dimension into our world, and what that might mean for Alar and for Kim and for the whole, and for the world that we know, known as Earth. So he's kind of, that's where it comes from and where he wants to go and explore further. But I don't want to give too much away because we want to keep everyone in suspense for future episodes.
Now, speaking of future episodes, the first season technically is 8 episodes for, I'm guessing, a total of about 45 minutes or so.
Yep.
Which is why I said not long enough. The what is the planned schedule for the next episode or the next, you know, season 2?
Right now we're collaborating with CBC in Canada, and we're working on pulling together some funding to create season 2 that we hope to launch within the year. And we also want to expand it out into other areas too, that we're looking at. So potentially TV show and some other elements as well that we were looking into.
Okay. Like I said, everyone in the U.S. can find it on YouTube. Folks in Canada can find it at CBC. Is that correct?
Yeah. Everyone can watch it on YouTube. It's also on Con TV in the States and on CBC in Canada.
Okay. Now, how closely tied to the Rift World games are these, or is this totally different?
Totally different.
Okay.
Yeah. It's completely separate from it. We just ended up with this title that we really loved and kind of realized, it's not connected to it. We felt like that was not going to be an issue, though.
Okay. So the adventure that our intrepid team finds themselves on is not based on anyone's particular gaming campaign.
No.
Okay.
Instead of the mind of Jonathan Williams.
Can you go into the special effects, how some of the magical and the rift special effects were designed and developed?
Yeah, we had Bob Monroe is one of our producers as well on board, and his whole background is from visual effects supervising, and he's worked on big Hollywood movies. He's worked on Splice and X-Men and a million other things, as well as the new show Expanse that's going to be coming out. And he's amazing, and his expertise in that area we couldn't have done it without him. And so he brought on his team, and we had these with this company Keyframe that came on to help with our visual effects and creating our portal and creating some of the other elements that happen in the series. And they were amazing. And Jonathan had a very specific idea in his mind about what that portal was going to look like. And he used a lot of reference images that he found from all over the internet and from games and from all these different things, and kind of pulled together this idea that for us, the hardest thing is getting what's in Jonathan's mind and translating that to other people to help execute it. And so with the help of Keyframe and their amazing work, and Red Lab, the post house that we worked with, who also did some of the visual effects, they were able to amazingly interpret what Jonathan was thinking into what we see on screen, and it's really close, and they did an amazing job at it. And with our this is not visual effects but special effects with our creature Kalesh, we actually hired a concept artist in the States to draw it for us before we went to creating the prosthetics and making it come to life on the screen.
Yeah, the practical effects with the creature and with Tamo's costume, I was very impressed with that, because that costume looks like something that cosplayers would kill for.
Oh, yeah. For Alar's costume, that was from the portal, and Wing Lee was the costume designer of that, and he did an amazing job on basically no budget at all. I'm not quite sure how he pulled it off, but I would kill for that costume. It looks amazing, and it's sturdy. You know, it's just so well done that that gets us really excited about doing more seasons and creating more costumes. And then for Kalesh, Jane Edwardson did his costume, and she also did an amazing job. We've been really lucky, actually, with the talent that we've been able to bring on board to create all the elements that have come together. But yeah, the costumes, I don't know how they do it.
Now, as a producer, how is it working on a production where you have, going in, you don't know what your budget is until you've raised the money. You don't know what your time is because you have to pull everybody back when you have the money. How much of a challenge is that?
It's a huge challenge. a large part of our job is kind of figuring that out. We were cutting it really close for us. My producing partner is Andrew Smith, and we knew that there was a certain budget that we needed to hit to make this thing look good and keep it the production value that we expected to have based on the short that we did. And so it was really stressful because we felt if we couldn't reach the money that we needed, that we weren't going to go ahead with it. But we also knew that we had a fan base already because of the short that wanted to see more. So we felt this obligation in a way to get more out. And again, even with these, as you say, it's too short with the episodes. And now again, we're like, oh, we have to do more. We have to create bigger worlds and keep going with it, which means raising more money. So for us, it's difficult, but it's exciting because we can show that there's an audience, which is different than other things we've experienced with feature films, where you don't know who your audience is necessarily or if they're going to be there beforehand. But with this, we were able to know that there were people out there who wanted to watch it and want to watch more. So that was really exciting for us. And it made it a bit easier for us to prove to, I mean, with Kickstarter and also CBC, who put some money in, and IPF, the Independent Production Fund in Canada, gave us some money for it, that we were able to show them, like, look, there's an audience, there's people that want to watch it. We know we can create it because we've done it before. So trust in us and help us make this amazing, which they did. So it was great.
And the comments that I've seen from the fans, the people watching it on YouTube, have been nothing but positive for the most part from what I've seen. And everybody else has the same, I guess, eager addiction now. They're like, I like this. This is funny. This is actually kind of cute. I want more, and oh my goodness, I'm not going to get it until I don't know when.
Yeah, I wish I had a date to say, here's the time when it's coming out, but we're doing our best to move quickly and get more content out to everyone. But we've been blown away by the response to it. It's been amazing. I mean, yeah, there really hasn't been negative comments that we've seen, or maybe we're just hiding our eyes from them, but it's really been... It's been overwhelming, and we're so appreciative of everyone out there who's been watching and enjoying and sharing. And we just want to now create more so that we can give everybody what they want.
Has the positive response and how wide and varied it is helped with funding for the next series?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's a huge help. It's a huge support to show that, like I said, that we have an audience who are going to want to watch more. It's been great.
What plans, if any, are existing yet, are there for season two? Is it still going to stay 8 episodes, 5 minutes per episode, or you're looking to squeeze that out to like maybe 10 minutes per episode?
We're talking about doing more episodes for the next season and potentially drawing them out a little bit longer. For us, really, it was about finding the right length to tell the story in the right way. So we're letting that dictate a bit about how long each episode are. We're not sticking to a firm, they have to be this length, each one. It's really going to depend on how it flows in terms of telling the story.
Mm-hmm. I really did, even though each episode is rather short, I liked how each one actually felt like a chapter in a book. And I thought that was really, really smart storytelling, because you have something that happens, and it ends in a logical place to continue on. It's like, will this happen? Will that happen? And fortunately, the next episode was right there, so I didn't have to worry too much.
Yeah, I think that was one of the challenges for Jonathan, actually, was looking at writing it in a different way, thinking of how to write each episode as you say, a chapter in a book, and how to end it so that it feels like a natural ending, but that it will lead to the next episode, instead of, as in a feature, you would just write the whole piece to go over the length of the hour or the hour and a half that the feature goes. So it was a challenge for him, but I think he really enjoyed it and is excited to explore that form more for the next season.
Mm-hmm. Well, as an old school sci-fi fan, who actually watched reruns of the old Flash Gordon serials, I like this kind of storytelling. It's compact. You have a quick break during lunch. You can say, okay, I can watch 3 episodes and then I'm good. And so taking this modern fantasy telling and doing a throwback to the old school sci-fi serials in the style of telling it, I thought was just a beautiful clash of old and new.
Yeah, I'm glad you loved that. And we also, you know, when me and Jonathan and Andrew were first talking about it, it really brought to mind old shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I'm a huge fan of, and kind of following in this world that feels natural and sincere and real, but that also brings in this fantasy element. So I think that's also a bit of the play that we're working with.
Cool. Well, since Buffy is still alive in comic books, are there plans for maybe graphic novels of these going down the road farther in the future?
There are, for sure. We've definitely started talking about that.
Awesome.
And actually, it was something that came up in early days of conceiving this because we see this as such a rich world that we can explore in so many different ways.
Awesome. Well, what other projects are you working on, or is Rift World your primary thing right now?
Right now, Rift World is taking up a majority of our time because of just getting it out first season, and now we're just trying to power ahead to get the next season out because we love it so much that we just want to keep going. And we also want to, like I say, get everyone, make sure that they get their fill and don't forget about us.
Well, I know I will continue to tell people who like smart, funny fantasy to check out Rift World and hopefully get you a few more listeners and watchers on board to help push for a season 2 sooner rather than later. I hope.
Awesome. Yes. We're working on it.
I know. But you just have to say, you know, hey, this is good stuff. We'd like more, please.
Yeah.
So thank you for talking to us about Rift World today, Laura. And
thanks for watching.
Just thank you for diving into this world and believing you could to bring it to us.
Yeah, I can't wait till season 2 to show you guys.
The show is The Rift World Chronicles. It's available on YouTube, on ConTV, on CBC. And we'll have links to where you can watch Rift World and become addicted in a very, very short period of time. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
To more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest is Aaron Karpluck, who plays the lead, Kim, on the very popular and very funny web series Riftworld Chronicles. Welcome to the show, Kim. I'm going to call you Kim. That's just funny.
I get called every name but my own, so it's fine. Thanks, Emma. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I can't tell you just how delightful your performance was, because every look, every exasperation, every frustration, even down to the annoying little brother, I'm like, you know, that's my life right there.
Thanks. That's honestly a testament to the other actors, because I just like react off what they do, especially Tomo, because he has to really ground himself in it. I mean, he's the one that's, he has to develop an entire character from a different planet with a different language, with, you know what I mean? That's magical. Like, there's so much that he had to kind of, you know, and be believable and ground himself in that. So for me, I kind of feel like I play the point of view of the audience, which is like, who's this guy? So I felt like it was kind of an easier job for me than for Tomo. And I do have a brother in real life, so I think, and Monroe's so wonderful as an actor. I just, whatever chemistry we had, we just like ran with and had fun. And then Jonathan's writing. And so it made my job really easy. I just kind of showed up and had fun.
So what initially attracted you to this project?
So true story, Riftworld Chronicles, the web series, actually started off as a short film, mm-hmm. which we would have shot, I think, in January 2012. And to be honest, the only reason why I did it is because my manager called up and said, you know, Tomo and I have been friends for, I want to say, 15 years now, and we've been in acting classes together, we've lived together, we've gone camping together, we've just been friends and peers for a really long time, but we've never actually shot together, like, with outside of being in an acting class. Mm-hmm. So my manager, she just called and said, you know, Tom was from, you're doing this short film, it's a really cute script, they want you to be a part of it. And I read it, and as soon as I read that Tom was going to be, you know, essentially taking the piss out of himself as this, like, sci-fi guy, because he's such a prolific sci-fi figure right now, and I was like, I'm doing this. And not only that, it shot in Toronto, so it was a free flight for me to go and see some friends there, my boyfriend at the time. So we showed up and we were shooting this short film, like, no idea where it was going to go. And Tomo said 2 days into filming, he's like, so Aaron, how do you know these guys? And I was like, what? Like, they're your friends. And he's like, no, Dad told me that they're your friends. And so however it worked out, the producers kind of like played us against each other to get us there. And luckily so, because we had a blast shooting it. Again, not really knowing where it would go. We just had fun, you know, working together. And then a little bit later, the producers have said, you know, we would love to turn this into a web series. And I was like, well, what the hell is a web series? Like, I don't know what a web series is. And I was shooting Rookie Blue at the time. And they sent the script forward, and I read it on the plane after we'd wrapped and went back to Los Angeles. And I was dying laughing, Summer. I just felt like it was the funniest thing. It's just Jonathan kind of writes the speak that just, like, falls out of my mouth, like that kind of sarcastic what have you. And the chance to get to work with Tomo again was really exciting. And so I landed and I said to Tomo, like, we've got to do this, we have to do it. And so, you know, schedules worked out and we were back in Toronto a month later shooting it. And I was really drawn to it. I'm drawn to projects for different reasons. I say there's like five, and I think I'm stealing this from like some prolific actor on the Actor Studio, but for me, there's five reasons to do a show, and that's first and foremost the story that you're telling, and mm-hmm. then the character that you're playing within that story. And then for me, it's the people that you work with. And so this is obviously wanting to work with Tomo. And then the other two, and they're not as important, but they are important to me. It's location of where it's shooting, and of course, how much you're going to get paid, because you got to pay the bills. Some things are labors of love, and some things you're like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I need to get paid something for it. So for me, I mean, Riftworld, it hit all those before. We didn't get paid anything. But no, we did, but it was, it was a limited budget, and Tom and I are lucky we jumped on as producers for the web series, and we kind of didn't want a trailer, any of the kind of fancy parts of filming, because it was a Kickstarter. You probably have all these questions for me, and I'm blasting ahead.
That's okay.
Kickstarter. We funded it through Kickstarter, so it's basically the fans paying for this. So instead of it going towards our salaries and trailers, we wanted it to go towards the special effects and making the show look really tight and really solid. So, again, I was just grateful that we had such a great crew, and Tomo, like, has absolutely no ego. We slept on the floor at lunch
in whatever church or hospital we were staying in the lunchroom floor. And it was, you know, it was a Fast and Furious shoot, but it was fun. But the story was there for me. The character was there for me. The people I was working with and the location. I really enjoy shooting in Toronto. So yeah, it was like, it was a no-brainer for me.
Awesome. Well, the fact that you two have known each other for so long just adds to the richness of how comfortable you appeared with each other on screen. And I have to ask, are there outtakes? Because there are some scenes where it looks like one or both of you are literally a hair away from just busting out laughing.
You know what? That's a really good question. And I hope that, honestly, watching bloopers is like my favorite part of, mm-hmm. you know, after watching a show or behind the scenes or what have you. And there has to be, like, if they, as long as they didn't, you know, delete anything and they kept it. That's a really good question. I wonder if they do. Because there was definitely, you know, more than one occasion where, you know, things went wrong or sideways or, you know, and particularly with the supporting cast, like, some of the stuff in the hospital scene, like Tom and I, we could not keep a straight face with the guy that played the receptionist. He was amazing. So funny. Like, so funny.
Because I think it's in the opening episode where he's walking around the city and just confused by what he's seeing and everything. I'm like, did they do this like a candid camera punk type of thing? Because you're far away and he's just walking around and people are looking at him, not knowing what's going on. I'm like, there must be some awesome extra footage from this.
I think there has to be. I know that we have to get people's permission to actually put them on camera. So mm-hmm. so the people would have to. But for me, it was fun at lunch hour watching, like, Tom would go grab us coffee, the crew or whatever at lunch. And, like, he would just, like go out in the middle of the street in his wizard outfit. And it was just always fun. Like, hair and makeup, and I was there busting out laughing at him crossing the street and people staring at him weird. But then it's weird because there's, like, also Comic-Con. There's, like, something that happens in Toronto. And I remember shooting a different show there once. And, like, there was every costume imaginable walking down the street. So some people are just like, oh, this is normal. There's a gigantic, you know, 6'3" wizard, and then some people are like, "What is happening?" So yeah, very fun. Yeah.
So that's what
and
you need.
Such a good sport about it all. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So next time you just have to time your shoot with a comic convention that's in town, and you'll just blend right in.
There you go. And this is the one show that I've worked on where the guy, like the man of the show, took longer to process than the girl. Like, Tama would have to get up going because all of his tattoos. I don't know if you noticed, they did such a good job mm-hmm. with them, and, you know, and they had to put dirt on him every day and these beautiful tattoos. So he was always in there. Well, we would go to work at the same time, but at the end of work, I would usually get to go home before him. Uh-huh. So enjoyed that. Yeah.
There you go. Turnabout is fair play, right?
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to most going to a season two, which Laura Perlmutter has already said they're working very hard to get underway?
Here's hoping. Yeah, people ask me, and of course I'm we're producing a more of the creative end of things, and we let them do all the kind of like hard businessy stuff. So what I would hope is that people, you know, and the feedback they're getting has been extremely positive. So we're just hoping, which is good, because this is, you know, the fans' money. So we're glad that they're happy with it. And if it were to go again, I mean, I'm going to speak for Tomo, maybe I shouldn't, but I just feel like if schedules allow and it's the same group of people on board and it's the same experience, you know, more or less than what we had, we're both 100% into it. Like, it's just very easy, fun filming. And not to say that it's not long hours and you have to do a lot of prep and work, but it's honestly, it's such a fun job. And I personally would like to see where the characters would go. There was a couple episodes that we didn't get to shoot for budgeting constraints because there was a big fancy fight scene that was supposed to take place in hypothetical webisode 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. And we decided not to do it because we didn't want to take away from the quality of the first 8. So I guess it would be 9 and 10. And so I would like to see, and Tomo had a great point, like, he is, and he won't say this himself, but he's actually, like, he's extremely skilled in martial arts, Tomo is, and the gentleman that we had playing Kalish, I might be saying that wrong right now. So
yes.
I just love to see that fight sequence happen. Like, it would be pretty spectacular And the one thing I like about Rift World is it's a bunch of genres kind of smushed together, like a romantic comedy meets, you know, sci-fi fantasy world. And I think that the fans would really enjoy kind of like a big, awesome choreographed fight scene. So I'd like to see that. And I'd like to, and Jonathan might kill me for saying this, but I kind of want to do a little throwback to the original short film and see what would happen if Kim went to Aller's home world. Just to kind of, I think it'd be a funny parallel because he's such a fish out of water on Earth. I would love to see Kim in his world and how she would react to the different people there. We would need a pretty extravagant budget, though, I think, to create a whole new world. So maybe like season 15 of Rift World, we'll go to Aller's home world. I'm not sure.
Well, I do hope that a season 2 gets funded and underway relatively in a timely fashion because, like I said, I enjoyed season 1. I would have loved it like a full 2 hours, but you know, hey, 45 minutes web series, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I really, really enjoyed it because I'm not the typical romantic comedy type, but mm-hmm. the way this was underplayed with more humor than awkwardness was funny. And I have to admit, I laughed out loud at the Captain America homage with you playing with the bandage on his chest.
Oh, okay.
that cracked me up.
I'm always curious to hear, like, at what point people laugh. Like, is it the garbage can scene? Is it the, like, I always laugh when we're in the subway and Alar is like, you know, he's talking to the Muslim lady. And he's mm-hmm. like, your people, this, and I'm like, we don't talk to people in here. Just because he's so, like, thinks that he's right in what he's saying. That always cracks me up. And a little behind the scenes, the story with the bandage, I actually had, Tom and I both got the flu. And the day before, Tom was ill. But that day we shot that scene, I was, like, violently ill in between takes, or at least kind of whatever the residual was from the night before. So I'm glad that you thought it was funny because at the time they were like, should I die? We don't know. Like, they would like prop me up in between takes so I wouldn't fall over. So I'm glad that that turned out because actually comedy takes a lot of energy. And I've never, knock on wood, missed a day of work in my life. And I just remember thinking, like, in that moment, I was like, it's a lot of work. It's comedy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had fun. We powered through it.
Awesome. Yeah. The parts where I laughed out loud were where you're like, trying not to be obvious about touching his bare chest, the scenes with the receptionist at the hospital, and the mm-hmm. scenes with your boss where you're pitching the idea, the mental health thing. Just the looks he had on his face were just cracking me up. I'm like, okay, that reminds me of my cousins at Thanksgiving where they're trying to make everybody bust out laughing with their mouths full of food. So just making like quiet little weird faces in the background, just what'd you say, huh? Yeah, okay. So yeah, those were
the supporting cast was so great. Like, we were lucky enough to get like these exceptionally talented actors to come in for a day of work to sometimes say a couple of lines, and you know what, it really makes a world of difference. And we're just really grateful that they get it, because again, it's like kind of like a financially thankless job, but the fact that they would, you know, they rallied, they came there, they gave it their all, they did the hard hours, and they brought their A game to the show, really made the world of difference in watching it. Like, Tom and I think on the second night in, he was like, it's like Carpuck. It's like, these actors are really, really good. And, you know, it was just so apparent. And so they did a great job in casting it, and we're very fortunate to have a cast that we had. And if we go to season 2, like, I love, there has to be more with Wes, because I love that they have a bit more of a Kim's backstory. Like, she has a brother, and, you know, she has a boss, and she's, you know, where she works and stuff, because you can kind of get all these other characters' views on Alar instead of just Kim.
Yeah, the instant bonding with the brother was just hilarious.
So funny, like sci-fi nerds, amazing, awesome.
It's like, and then, you are my people, we are here.
Yeah. Totally. Totally, yeah. And that's kind of like our director. He was like, I think I was in Wes's room and we were talking about this deck and I was like, oh, look at this. And Jonathan was like, dead serious, and he's like, no, that's an actual thing, do you have any idea? Because I really don't know that much about sci-fi. I love acting in it, but I don't watch a lot. And I was like, oh, and just like the extent of the knowledge of like fantasy it blew my mind. I'm learning more. And also just the fan base, like how loyal and dedicated the fans are and how much they pay attention to detail. You know, it was a huge eye opener for me. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the one thing you have to remember about the geek community, if you provide them with quality entertainment, no matter if it's on the web, on TV, in film, in games, they will embrace you and never want to let go.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because Tom and I have both been, we both worked on the show Supernatural, and it's got a huge following, and I think mm-hmm. you're in your 11th season now. I mean, I've been on the show twice as two different characters because it's been running for so long, and then Tom had this incredible arc on the show, and he became, you know, close to Jensen and Jared, and the guys, Jensen and Jared, they just threw out a tweet to their fans, and it helped our show astronomically, like, just because of their fan base. Like, I think the guys have, like, 3 million followers mm-hmm. between the two of them, and it was incredible, the response from that. So we're totally grateful to the guys for that, and also to the fans for taking the time to sit down for 45 minutes and watching it.
Yeah, I've been telling all my geeky friends, it's like, hey, if you like fantasy and gaming type stuff, check this out. You'll enjoy it. It's well worth the watch, because it is. Mm-hmm. Every episode.
Even people that aren't into, like, hugely into sci-fi can still, like my mom, it's one of her favorite projects. And she just watches, like, CSI her whole life. She doesn't like anything to do with that's too outside of the box, but she really, really enjoyed this. So I think it has a good, like kind of like a versatile fan base.
Mm-hmm. And even, you know, even though the fantasy line isn't very strong yet, it's a lovely, cute little fish out of water story. And I think everybody can relate to that a little bit.
Totally. 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 Yeah. Speaking of my mother, but there's a scene, the scene you're talking about, the Captain America scene, where Alar sees the photo of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And our producers were very sweet because I was insistent that they use a photo of my actual mom. So I was there and I was like, Mom, you got to find a picture and scan it because we want to use it in the short in the web series. And so I was on the phone with her like for an hour trying to walk her through how to scan this photo. Anyways, so Kim's mother, the woman in the picture, is actually my mother in real life.
That's really your mom. That's sweet.
Yeah, I made Jonathan do it. I was like, Kim, I don't know where he's my mother. He was like, okay. And then they just superimposed the necklace onto it. So
awesome. Awesome. So what else are you working on these days?
So right now I'm on a show called Rookie Blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's in its sixth season, and it airs on ABC on Thursday night. And I just joined the cast for this season, and I got quite an awesome arc on it. Had a blast shooting it, and I think we're about mid-season right now watching it, and it was a really fun role. I've never played a police officer before, and I got to do, you know, official training and do a ride along with police officers. So it's a very kind of cool, different character for me to play. And also I have coming up a new show for Chiller Network, and we're not allowed to talk too much about it, but it's a mini series called Flasher. And again, this is an extremely different character for me. It's quite, she's had a pretty hard life. And so it's very different from Kim, very different from my character on Rookie Blue. So I just feel very grateful that I've been able to play a bunch of different myriad of characters this year. So,
wow.
So that's coming up. I'm just prepping for that. And I'm going to actually head back to Toronto to shoot that in September.
Nice. Well,
with some of my old Being Erica producers and castmates. So I'm really looking forward to that reunion with them.
Awesome. Yeah, because I've liked some of the stuff that Chiller's come out with. I will have to keep an eye out and let our horror fans know, Slasher on Chiller, keep an eye out for it. Well, mm-hmm. Thank you so, so much for your time today, Erin.
Oh, thanks, Summer. Thank you so much for watching, and all the feedback means a lot to us.
Yes, we will have links on the website to where you can watch Rift World Chronicles. There's a playlist of all 8 episodes, plus some trailers on YouTube. Go find them. Go enjoy yourself. Take a long lunch break. You know, eat your lunch, watch, laugh. You will enjoy it because I did, and I'm telling you, you will.
That's the one good thing about the web series. They're so small. There's like little 8 episodes. If your kid has a nap or you're on your lunch break, you can almost get through all of them. They're just, and you can do them anytime online. And they're also at Con TV. You can watch them all there if they're not on the, I don't know, is that through YouTube? Con TV, I don't
think. No, I think it's a separate website, but yeah, we'll have,
yeah,
we
website.
Will have exactly. Links.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again when season 2 comes out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Summer. I hope everyone enjoys it.
All right. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Annie.
And I'm Stephanie.
We're the hosts of The Quad, a podcast about sci-fi and Space Channel's new series, Killjoys.
Killjoys follows 3 bounty hunters that operate in a group of planets called The Quad that is on the verge of a class war.
We'll be discussing the episodes as they air and exploring the characters, themes, and story arcs. Find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and at AskGenreTV.com.
See you in The Quad.
This is Kevin Murphy from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rift Tracks, and you have bitten off a nice big chunk of Slice of Sci-Fi.
Well, that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. Hope you guys enjoyed the double interview. Seriously, Rift World Chronicles is worth watching. It's funny, it's cute, and I, for one, can't wait to find out about more season 2 whenever it comes along. The the special effects are what you'd expect for a web series that's only 45 minutes long, but I think they made wise use of their time and their money, saving it for the really big bangs when they needed it. The portal, when it appears, looks gorgeous, so... But keep an eye on Riftworld Chronicles. Go watch the series on YouTube. And let them know on Twitter, on YouTube. Leave your comments. Tell them how much you enjoy it and how much you're looking forward to more. Coming up in the next few weeks, we have a couple of Geek Talk episodes. As only we geeks can do. Going to be introducing a few new contributors to the show. There's a handful of new people coming on board, and hopefully we'll get them on more frequently. I know we've got a little project in the works over for It's Comic Book Day, so can't wait to see how that turns out when they get done with that. But other than that, I think my biggest thing right now is waiting for the fall TV season startup. There's stuff on Sci-Fi Channel is coming along. There's stuff, while Blind Spot doesn't appear to be science fiction, unless you take into account how in the world she got all those tattoos all over her body, I might be checking that out. I know a few people are waiting for Once Upon a Time to come back and for all of the DC superheroes on Fox and the CW. What's that? We got Arrow, we got Flash, we got Supergirl on CBS, we have Gotham on Fox. Yeah, everybody's looking forward to those. Sometime later in the fall, we have, probably closer to winter, Jessica Jones on Netflix. So I'm going to have to binge watch Daredevil again. Oh, twist my arm. Before Jessica Jones starts up. And I don't know if everybody's heard yet. You probably have, because that news has been out there for a while, geeking out. Jon Bernthal, who I think was last seen in season 1 of Walking Dead playing Shane, he's the Punisher for season 2 of Daredevil. And last rumor I heard was Jason Statham wanted to play Bullseye. Ooh, that could be a lot of fun. Jason Statham as Bullseye, John Bernthal as Punisher, and Charlie Cox continuing being an excellent Matt Murdock / Daredevil. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show coming back in the spring. But that'll do it for this episode. We, as always, enjoy listening to your comments, questions, call them in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can record something on your own and email it to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. Check us out on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. We have at It's Comic Book Day. We have at Slice of Sci-Fi TV and at Slice of Sci-Fi UK. If we have any UK listeners who want to contribute to the sliceofsci-fi.co.uk website, send me an email. We'll talk. We have a Facebook link. We have a Google Plus link. And as always, the websites, sliceofsci-fi.com, itscomicbookday.com, sliceofsci-fi.tv, which I have to update really soon, and also sliceofsci-fi.co.uk, which is in dire need of some love, attention, affection, and content. So if you have any ideas, shoot them to me. Thank you all for your donations. They are literally put to good use, especially now, seeing as I have to upgrade a few things. As always, we send out a heartfelt thanks to Sci-Fried, my favorite geek rock band, for providing the theme music to Slice with Sci-Fi. Check out their website over at sci-friedband.com. Check out their music. They've got a lot of good music. If you like nerd rock, if you like nerd music, and you like just good, solid, tight rock and roll, check out Sci-Fried. Trust me, you'll love them like I do. And that'll do it for the show. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.